An interference study turns out badly for LightSquared. TSA is getting flamed on its own blog. And a plan to save the historic Hangar 1 is stalled. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. Bloomberg has received a draft of a report scheduled for official release tomorrow on the potential of LightSquared's proposed broadband network to interfere with GPS receivers. So far, it doesn't look good for the wireless company. According to the report, of 92 GPS devices tested by the U.S. Defense Department, the FAA, and some GPS manufacturers, LightSquared's network would interfere with 69 of them, or three-quarters. The report also makes clear, quote, "No additional testing is required to confirm harmful interference exists," unquote. The controversy surrounding LightSquared's network and its fast track through the FCC has not been good for Harbinger Capital Partners, the hedge fund which is backing the project. Bloomberg reported in June that investors have tried to pull as much as $1 billion out of the fund. Regarding the leak of the draft interference study, LightSquared Executive VP Martin Harriman responded to Bloomberg, quote, "This breach attempts to draw an inaccurate conclusion to negatively influence the future of LightSquared and narrowly serve the business interests of the GPS industry," unquote. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration is getting flamed by readers of its own official blog over an unwillingness to own up to mistakes made by poorly trained screeners and what many readers are bluntly calling lies. At issue are three reports recently from elderly women who say they were strip-searched during screening at JFK International Airport. A post from the agency dated on Sunday says, in part, quote, "TSA does not and has never conducted strip searches, and no strip searches occurred in any of these incidents. We truly regret these passengers feel they had a bad screening experience," unquote. Anonymous replies were typified by one that said, quote, "Is the TSA's definition of strip search limited to having a person take off all their clothes and then bend over and spread their buttocks and genitalia? Because in that case, simply forcing people to remove their clothes really wouldn't be an actual strip search? Please clear up this issue for the public with clear and specific language," unquote. Another pointed out, quote, "Saying I'm sorry you feel that way is not an apology, it's an insult. You are reversing the blame around to the victim, it's the victim's fault," unquote. The first elderly woman to come forward with a complaint of strip searching, 84-year-old Lenore Zimmerman, told the screeners she was wearing a back brace, which, according to TSA policy, should not have needed to be removed. In a December 4th blog post, TSA confirmed the woman told screeners it was a brace. But this week, TSA changed its story to say, quote, "There was a bit of miscommunication and our officers were told that the passenger was wearing a money belt," unquote. Readers reasonably ask, if the woman told you it was a brace, who told you it was a money belt? The TSA blog is moderated, so there's no guarantee these comments will remain available for viewing indefinitely. Visit blog.tsa.gov to read more. NASA says it's evaluating an offer from Google executives to provide $33 million to fund a complete restoration of Hangar 1, a historic landmark at Moffett Federal Airfield, a former blimp base near Mountain View, California. All the execs are asking in return is to lease part of the floor space back from NASA for their private jets after the work is completed. That idea isn't going over well with some locals. The Silicon Valley Mercury News reports that Google CEO Larry Page, co-founder Sergey Brin, and chairman Eric Schmidt own a company called H211, which manages their aircraft. NASA can't afford to renovate the hangar and has already started removing the siding to prepare for demolition. Once the siding's gone, the framework will be exposed to the elements, and expensive scaffolding, which could be reused for the re-siding project, will be removed. That means time is of the essence. History buffs and lawmakers at all levels seem thrilled with the offer from H211, but some Mercury News readers worry that the hangar will end up becoming a giant Google billboard, which the company says there's no plans for, or that private jets are socially offensive and send a bad message. Reader Maria Lopez says of Google, quote, "Remember the 99%? They obviously are the 1% who should give back to society, not use money as a carrot to use a historical hangar as their personal garage. Google guys, young men are sacrificing their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. What is your contribution to America? More greed?" Unquote. But there are also fans of the plan among the readership. Michael Hastings posts, quote, "As a lifelong Mountain View resident, a fan of Google, and a member of the military, I'm in full support. I joined the Naval Sea Cadet program many years ago, housed in Hangar 1. And I think if Google wants to pay to restore it and wants part of the floor space in exchange, great. There's plenty of room in there, unquote. The entire conversation may be moot if NASA doesn't make a decision pretty soon. Ken Ambrose, Director of Operations for H-211, told a Thursday meeting of the Hangar 1 subcommittee of the Moffett Field Restoration Advisory Board, quote, "Months have gone by, and I feel a real sense of urgency with the bones being exposed. A decision should have been made by now. It's 12:45 as far as I can see," unquote. The offer of the $33 million was made back in September. Still ahead, the police drone controversy is growing. The pilot in a GA midair once had his ATP suspended. And Piper announces management for its new consulting arm. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 13th. I'm Paul Platt. A growing controversy surrounds the sudden use of unmanned surveillance aircraft designed for the military against private citizens in the U.S. The issues being raised include whether there is an expectation of privacy on your own property if you can still be seen from public airspace, and whether the use of drones violates the Posse Comitatus Act or the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The Los Angeles Times cites as an example a case in North Dakota in which Nelson County Sheriff Kelly Janke obtained a search warrant to look for missing cows on a family's farm in June. He says he was chased off by three armed men, so he called in the help of a Predator B drone operated by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The first known arrests of U.S. citizens made with the help of a Predator came the following morning without further incident after the suspects were located by the drone and determined to be unarmed. Former Congresswoman Jane Harman, a California Democrat who once chaired the House Homeland Security Intelligence Subcommittee, says there needs to be a public discourse and creation of clear legal authority before the implementation of civilian surveillance drones becomes common. She tells the LA Times, quote, "There is no question that this could become something that people will regret," unquote. The pilot of a Cessna 206 float plane involved in a mid-air collision in Alaska back in June had his ATP privileges suspended in 1994 after the FAA determined he had falsified training records. The Seattle Times reports Kevin Earp was one of five Alaska Airlines pilots caught up in the action who had to move to the right seat for 6 months following the FAA finding. The specific charge by the FAA was that Earp piloted 137 airline flights and served as a flight instructor and check airman for almost 3 months after he failed to take 18 hours of required ground training in 1993, but nevertheless appeared on the roster for the classes. The FAA restored his ATP, and the airline reinstated him as captain after 6 months, and the airline blames the incident on deficiencies at the time in its own record-keeping. Alaska praises Earp's skill and professionalism and says he has continued to serve as an aircraft program designee, which allows him to issue airman certificates on the FAA's behalf, suggesting he has the agency's faith as well. In the accident this past June, the 57-year-old Earp was flying his 206 when, he says, he didn't see a Cessna 180 until it was too late to avoid it. Earp landed safely after the collision, but the 180 went down, and a family of four died in that crash. Earp is still flying for Alaska Airlines. Piper Aircraft has named seasoned aerospace executives to head its new Piper Aircraft Services business unit, dedicated to performing manufacturing, engineering, and technical services for other companies. The new venture will provide professional services to companies primarily involved in the aerospace sector. Michael Dow has been appointed as Director and General Manager of Manufacturing Services. His 30-year aviation background includes leadership roles for military and commercial products, including weapons systems, tactical fighters, helicopters, remotely piloted aircraft, and commercial space launch vehicles, and development of new type commercial aircraft for international certification and production. Albert Jack Mill is the new director and general manager of engineering services. Also a 30-year aerospace veteran, Mills' experience includes senior roles in product development and certification programs for Piper, and design roles with Cessna Aircraft, Martin Marietta, and Northrop Grumman. Both Dow and Mill report to Piper President and CEO Simon Caldicott, who recently announced the new services divisions would be created in part to generate work for employees downsized from Piper's discontinued Altair Jet program. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.